natural ally of Silent Circle. He teamed up with the company following its highly publicized face-off with the government, but has been working on implementing secure, privacy-focused communications for the best part of a decade. Levison, who is currently appealing the Justice Department's attempt to force him to hand over LavaBit's master encryption, plans to work with Silent Circle to help other email providers, large and small, implement the darkmail technology on their servers. He is due to formally announce the project during a keynote speech Wednesday at the Inbox Love email conference in California. When email was first created more than 40 years ago, Levison said in a phone interview on Tuesday, it was used on a small scale by researchers who trusted one another and didn't have to worry about security of the protocols they were using to send messages. But that has drastically changed, as the Snowden disclosures have helped hammer home. What we've learned is that we need to replace email because it's just too easy to snoop on. And if we want to eliminate that from our society, what we need to do is reinvent the protocols from the ground up. It's now 1 minute after the hour of two right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Benjamin. We'll be back after these brief messages.
Hey, it's the Christmas Claus here announcing the KKFI Ho 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 Holiday Online Auction this December with all kinds of goodies donated from people just like you. Help us grow the biggest auction ever by donating that forgotten treasure in your attic, a special baked gooey pie or cake, or an afternoon of babysitting, room painting, or house cleaning. Be generous, be creative. To donate, contact Bill at KKFI or email billc@kkfi.org.
Hi, I'm Linda Wilson, host of Woman Song on Saturdays at 11 a.m. As a retired federal employee, I ask all my federal employee friends to support KKFI through the combined federal campaign. A few dollars each payday through payroll deductions could hardly be missed by you, but they add up to being a big help for KKFI Community Radio. The CFC agency code is 21994. That's 21994. Thanks for your support.
Tune in Monday at 9 a.m. for Jaws of Justice Radio. We'll start out with Richard Tripp of Care of Poor People and Dwayne Servum, director of Hope Faith Ministries, on the upcoming Survival 14 event. In the second half, Ron Smith, executive director of Second Chance, and Brittany Peterson, resource specialist on reentry to society from prison. That's Jaws of Justice Radio, Monday, 9 a.m., right after Democracy Now!
All right, folks, 11 minutes after the hour of two right here on Community Radio in the 21st century. And I'm not smart enough to figure out exactly what tax rate we are at here in Jackson County, here in Kansas City, in a community improvement district. But I do know that it's higher than 9.74%. It is over 10%. And they want it to be even more than that. And so you can look at the whole biomedical tax increase for 20 years, Jackson County sales tax, yada, all different sorts of kind of ways. And before we've even saved one little child with leukemia, we can acknowledge the fact that the tax rate is really high. And I don't know that we have a revenue problem. I don't know that that's really the issue here. That's kind of interesting little article I read right before we took the break. Not in regards to a tax rate, but in regards to fully encrypted emails. Dark Alliance mail. Man, Paragon Radio at darkalliance.com. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? A lot cooler than Gmail. And it's like, you know, I should get rid of the Gmail account because I know that Gmail is reading my emails for the purposes of looking for information in them to tailor ads to me. But kind of the cool part about that is I don't really get the ads because I have an ad blocker software on my browser, which has really allowed me. I mean, if you don't have some sort of ad blocker software, which you can generally get for free, I strongly recommend doing so. Because it takes all that commercial crap out of your web experience.
I've trained myself to read right around the ads. They're...
But you still like them to be there?
No, I don't mind either way. Okay. I'm not...
They're reassuring to have those advertisements there and then you to have the stone-cold concentration to avoid them?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's I find them helpful.
You find them helpful. You are Mr. America, Mike. I find
them. They help me know what to buy.
Absolutely. They give me ideas on new products that I can enjoy. I love the advertisements.
I literally did see a spam advertisement when I pulled open my spam folder the other day.
Like literally the product spam?
Correct.
Gotta love it.
Canned meat for all.
Yeah, well, you know what makes spam so special?
Butter?
No, there's no butter in that product. Is they actually cook the meat in the can.
What?
Yeah, dude, you didn't know that? That's really what makes spam so special.
So they like emulsify raw meat and then just kind of...
I think it's...
coagulate, I think is the right word.
They they repurpose meat that may not have had one into cans. Spam, very popular in Hawaii. Which is interesting, isn't it? Spam, yes. And pineapple sandwiches. Yeah, the Hawaiians are a big people. A large people. It's a World War II food.
Right.
It was what the Greatest Generation devoured as they were destroying Germany and Japan. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You can also email us, paragonradio@gmail.com, gofindtheothers.com, and on Twitter, @gofindtheothers.com, # New World Order Party.
CIA and CIA.
Yeah, why every time a guy goes crazy and takes his AR-15 on a rampage, he's got to have some sort of... They refer to it as a tract, like T-R-A-C-T, like religious tract. But instead of it, well, no, he had a bunch of stuff about the New World Order and the Federal Reserve Bank or something along those lines.
Correct.
I mean, he's 23. 20. I mean, come on, guy. You were 12 when 9/11 happened or something like that. Is that right? No. Yeah. No, less than that, right? Yeah, he was a wee lad. What do you know about the New World Order? To you, the New World Order is a offshoot of professional wrestling, right?
I think I know why he's angry. His name is spelled CIANCIA.
Which kind of sounds like a pizza place.
Or a New World Order joke.
Is it all a New World Order joke?
That's I'm a coincidence CIA theorist.
Well, they and that in a photograph of the suspect having been detained was released to the media, and it kind of looks funny. It's kind of a funny looking picture. I mean, are there crazy people out there,
yes,
who think that taking an AR-15 into an airport terminal and shooting a TSA agent will have some sort of an effect, some sort of, yeah, an effect upon something? Yeah, no, those people exist. They're out there. I mean, you know, didn't Charles Manson think by killing some actresses in L.A. he was going to start a race riot or something like that?
Helter Skelter.
Well, I mean, John Brown thought he was going to start a civil war.
He kind of did.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
he kind of did.
Right.
Actually.
So that's the guy they're going after. You know what I mean? They don't see themselves as, I'm going to be like Charles Manson. They see themselves as, I'm going to be like John Brown. You know what I mean?
Well, and the other side of that is, you know, okay, there are crazy people that do exist. We need the government to restrict gun ownership to prevent us from having to be shot at by these crazy people. And then there's the straight up, this guy was a CIA plant. This is a scripted event. The, you know, victims aren't real. This is completely and totally a fantasy. People put it out there. I mean, that's something that almost every time there's a mass shooting, even though this is not a mass shooting, every time there's a shooting that hits salient current events, political topics, which this is, TSA, you know, AR-15.
New World Order.
New World Order conspiracy information in his pocket. He wrote a suicide conspiracy note on his Twitter account or something like that. The Newtown shooting conspiracy. I mean, there's people out there who were saying that the victims' families were on the TV and it was just completely a hoax.
Right. Like
Boston. I mean, this is something.
Where were the bodies?
Right. And same thing with the Boston Marathon bombing, you know, that there were people who were victims or family members of the victims, completely and totally scripted. They're actors. They're to play the sympathies of, you know, I mean, it's just, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, like last week, I caught a little bit of the end of the World Series. Not because I'm a Red Sox fan.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant a series about the end of the
World Series. No. A little bit. I caught a bit of the end of the World Series. But not that I'm a Red Sox fan. I just really.
Would it take 7 games to end the world?
No, I think, you know, no. It wouldn't, would it?
It would Are be they a, the ones who won? Sweep. Was that the Red Sox?
Red Sox did win. And I was happy because that meant the St. Louis Cardinals lost. So
that was it.
That was really
Sometime
it for me.
Sometimes that's enough. I'm with you.
I'm what they call a hater.
I'm like that with the Broncos. Sorry to say it, Jake, but
I'm a hater.
I'm looking forward to 2 weeks from now.
just a hater. Yeah, it's funny. You know, Jake gave up football a long time ago, and now every day I see him, he's got this Broncos.
But I did
Broncos.
Not give up my hoodie.
He's got his Broncos hoodie on.
All I'm saying is I broke out the old Priest Holmes there, buddy.
I dress warm and I like orange and blue.
Orange and blue is a nice color scheme. That is a nice color scheme. But anyway, so I'm watching the end of the World Series, which is a baseball game and not a special on the History Channel. And they're talking about how this was such an important year for Boston because of the marathon bombing and that they weren't going to break our resolve, you know. Boston became B strong, you know,
right.
A big Boston B and said strong, you know, talking about the perseverance of, you know, we're not going to let these people, you know, change our lives. we're going to go out there. I mean, it was just like,
right.
You remember like in 2 days after the marathon bombing, they had like the, you know, the drive-by medias down there. And they're like, you know, we're down here on, you know, Riverfront Park, and there are people out here jogging. And I didn't talk to any of these people, but it seems like they're protesting the instability
right.
that these terrorists are trying to bring. You know, it's like, no, I bet that dude doesn't even know what happened. And that guy would be out here jogging regardless.
Right.
You know, it's just this whole mentality that we are persevering, we will survive, we will be stronger as a people after all this is done. And you're just going, huh?
You're patting yourself on the back.
What are you supposed to do? Right? You know, right. It's just like, yeah, now Boston is a little more special because of the marathon bombing. And granted, you know, that whole, you know, that event was gruesome. I mean, the pictures that came from that finish line of that marathon bombing were disgusting.
The special effects was second.
My point here, I think some people really did have their, you know, the bottoms of their legs blown off. I mean, I don't know. I mean, who am I to say either way? But when it comes down to it, everything becomes a big conspiracy. And that's, you know, like this guy from LAX. And it was kind of funny, you know, they were like, you know, one detained and lax shooting. And I'm like, lax shooting? You know, this is what, they couldn't get it together and get real motivated to go out there and do a shoot. But people are so quick to go, well, this is why it's a conspiracy. This is why it didn't happen that way. This is why, you know, there's a bit of an industry of people out there. Because, you know, and you know, mostly because of the internet being connected through that just immediately. I'm waiting for Alex Jones to be like, yeah, that mass shooting was actually real. Yeah,
right,
we actually,
right.
I looked at a lot of the
well, and this, if they had tracks on him and all this kind of stuff, then he won't do this one. He won't say it to this one because this kind of implicates him in that industry that you're talking about.
Oh,
you know
what I'm
saying? Like
conspiracy theories?
Yeah. It's like, you know, in a way I can see some guy getting hopped up thinking, you know, if you get too far down that rabbit hole and you're just like thinking everything's a conspiracy and that's just
how did we go
the New World Order.
How did we go
they know what they're doing or not.
How did we go from the guy who had his girlfriend write the Bill of Rights on his back, go to the airport and get naked in front of the TSA guy in a protest, you know, and here's the Fourth Amendment on my back, you know, as I take all my clothes off. How do we go from that to the crazy guy, the AR-15, you know, walking into, I mean, he had 100-something rounds of ammunition on him. They said he had enough bullets with him to kill everyone in the terminal, everyone that was in the terminal at the time. I mean, how do we go from that? You know, these people, you know, people wanting to make, you know, a poignant, salient protest point to just, you know, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to go kill a TSA guy. Because why does this person work for the TSA? There's two reasons why you'd work for the TSA.
I got kids.
One, you got kids. Two, you're just straight up a pervert. You got one of those creepy cut mustaches and you like looking at pictures of naked people. There's essentially two reasons. The primary one probably being is you need money and you have to work.
Right.
That's and you're within proximity of an airport.
Right. I mean, that's I would imagine that's why most people
work for the TSA. I think they move to be for the work. That's how bad it is. Right. So, yeah, no, absolutely. And then it's two different spots on the same protest wave. I don't know the image that I'm seeing, but you know what I'm saying? It's like the guy who writes the Fourth Amendment on his back and that kind of stuff, he's, you know, like an abolitionist. The other guy sees himself as a John Brown. You know what I mean? Like there's letting people know that what you're doing is wrong and writing it on your back or protesting like that. And then there's, no, man, there is a game afoot. And if you don't understand that, you know, too bad for you. But Alex Jones told me that there is this army of TSA, you know, perverts and ne'er-do-wells that are out there, right? And there are hundreds of them, right? They're in every city in America. And if you just happen to be close by, he sees himself almost like that TSA worker that we were just talking about who is in proximity to an airport. I mean, he's like, that is an outpost of the New World Order that's right by me. I can strike a blow for mankind and freedom.
Wow, and what a lunatic.
Right.
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 I mean, seriously, what a lunatic.
Right. That's not a, like, hey, we could get some support for our NSA programs scenario. You know, it's not a false flag scenario. It's a lunatic. I mean, I guess I'm not making that definitive statement.
But No, he's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. No, you can definitively, I think, say that. And then
he's got a track record.
Well, and any literature that he has in his possession is just decoration on top of the cake. I mean, you know, the big thing is that anyone that seeks to make some sort of statement of politics or philosophy through violence is crazy, right? No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, think about it. I mean, I could be wrong. I guess there might be examples of how I could be wrong within that.
Well, I immediately start trying to judge all of history and go, okay, you know, there have been violent conflicts
that were
done in the name of. So you're like, kind of saying it was crazy, even though you might have been down with it. Or
well,
with the outcome.
Okay, so then the American Revolutionary War or something like that.
Right.
You know, violent acts take place. You know, people do this for political and philosophical reasons, I guess. You know, I guess you could say that.
Well, initiation of violence. Although some would say that you have to initiate violence. I'm looking at this far too wider and philosophical.
No, and that's fine, because there may be a way.
This guy was wrong, yes.
Right, and I think history will judge him as having been wrong today and tomorrow, because it doesn't. There's nothing fundamentally accomplished here. If anything,
right.
If anything, this gentleman has done what always happens.
Harm.
Well, right. Well, he's clearly done harm, but or he's given, you know, benefit. I'm maybe the TSA has, you know, their approval rating has shot up from sympathy.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and he has indeed benefited the New World Order as it is, or the defense, what did Eisenhower call it?
The military-industrial
complex. I don't know why I couldn't come up with that. But, yeah, the military-industrial complex, security, whatever, you know, all of that will indeed benefit from this.
Oh, and most definitely you're going to just naturally. I don't think you could try to manipulate this administratively, but you are naturally going to have a higher level of antagonism from TSA agents to –
right.
The unwashed, the plain clothes.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, just by natural
a higher
event.
Level of compliance and get like, in line. From
yeah,
the
man,
people.
That's right. I'm gonna steal this dude's iPad because you know that one guy in LA got shot. I mean, you know, just kind of just stupid. It's like, yeah, I'm. You know, we're TSA.
You're talking about I thought you meant like them being more antagonistic as you go through their checkpoints.
That's exactly what I mean.
You know, and then, but you're also going to have people that are going to be more compliant. You know, the guy that today or yet whatever last week would have been saying, you know, man, this stupid guy took my shoes off, is going to be saying, hey, man, pipe down. You know what I mean? These guys are like on the front lines of freedom. You know what I mean? I don't think it'll be that over the top, but that's
where
people will be.
They're on the front lines of freedom. Hey.
That's where people will be, man. They'll be like,
and now
hey,
now it's like a conflict.
This ain't a job. Because that was the first thing when I saw the press conference, and the guy goes, you know, he said the same thing the cops always say, you know, about, you know, this is a guy who went to work this morning. He's not going home to his kids every day. Thousands of TSA officers do. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, let's not get over the top with this. I mean, there are nuts out there. That doesn't mean we have
to. And there's a reason why this is the first TSA agent to have died in the line of duty in the history of that agency. Because it's generally not a violent job.
Right. And it's...
And
it's only 10 years old. I mean...
Well, right. And generally, airports are pretty safe places. Generally, the act of flying is you're most violated by the airplane company and the government that runs the whole process. You're not violated, you know, by your fellow travelers nearly as much as you're violated by the entire system of air travel.
Right. So do you think a guy like this thinks that he's going to spark the revolution? Like,
well, why? What is?
Like people in Kansas City are going to be rising up and going like, "Yeah, we shouldn't."
But I mean, granted, this guy's crazy, right?
Right.
So who knows what's going on?
Trying to find a logical reason is kind of stupid, right?
We're looking for misfired synapses here and trying to figure out where the short circuit is,
right?
But, I mean, there's clearly he had a feeling. I mean, because that is a rallying point for people who are a little anti-establishment, who spend a lot of time on the internets looking for information to take issue with about the government and the control structure. The TSA is a constant battering ram. You know, and it's just these TSA agents, like anybody who has a small paycheck and an even smaller amount of authority, there's all types of abuse that comes out of that. And we've seen a lot of that.
Right.
We've seen a lot of that. This idea that you are going to somehow change anything.
Well, I think that's one of
it's just insane.
Yeah. Commonalities to a lot of these events is
they're nonsensical.
Well, yeah, and if you're dead set on the great change and sparking the revolution, you know, surely one of these nutzos is gonna take aim at something a little higher up the ladder than a airport worker, because there's, you know, the new world order and the new world disorder, and a lot of these things are so fruitless it makes, you know, makes one wonder. You know, it's senseless at that point. You know, if this guy really hates the New World Order and he's going to go do something to get back at him, you know, aren't there targets of more importance? Aren't there things to take out? You know, if they wanted to scare the bejesus out of everybody.
TSA headquarters.
When's a football game get hit, you know? Although airports are busy and they do lots and lots and lots of traffic and business, lots and lots and lots of people still don't fly.
Well, and this is an interesting aspect of things, because when people who want to take issue with the establishment, which I have no problem doing, but when people want to do that, they have to find specific reasons to take issue. And sometimes you kind of end up grasping at straws a little bit.
Right.
Because you can take issue with so many aspects of the establishment in this country, the government, the corporations, the political establishment in this country. You can take a lot of issue. But if you want to go specific things that are curtailing my freedom on a regular basis, you know, I mean, okay, so the TSA.
Right.
All right, okay, fine. And that's one that always gets put there, right? I mean, there's no doubt that there are obstacles to people and their personal freedom and liberty in this country. Try to start a small business. You know, try to figure out the tax code. Try to figure out what the sales tax goddamn rate is for the city of Kansas City. You know, I mean, these things are not easy things to figure out and determine. You know, these process, I mean, permits you might need, all these bureaucratic red tape government obstacles that you may, you know, that you would have to overcome to be a small business owner, entrepreneur, et cetera. There are lots of these examples, but when we're talking about specific ones and we listen to people who can be a little overzealous about their description of some of these, you know, folks like Alex Jones, because we're going to find out this guy listens to Alex Jones. We all know. I mean, Alex Jones knows that.
Right.
Well, we all know that. Alex Jones knows that.
Prison Planet subscription.
Yeah. Infowars.com. You know, absolutely. This is going to come to light. And it's just like, okay, so when we're being that hyperbolic, because Alex Jones is hyperbolic, not saying that there isn't some, there's most definitely some truth to where he comes from with some of, with a lot of what he says. But it becomes so hyperbolic and so extreme that something like the TSA becomes a target.
Right.
You know, and this all of a sudden becomes one of our obstacles to freedom. I mean, I don't think flying on an airplane was a pleasant experience before September 11th. You know, I think that was a cause and effect relationship between the high cost of operating an airline and the government subsidies that went along with that, the restructuring of the corporate, you know, entities of these airlines made it to where you had lower service, lower, you know, seat space, all these other things made it just incredibly unpleasant to fly something like never 9/11 happens. And now not only do you have to fly on an uncomfortable airplane with surly flight attendants, et cetera, now you got to deal with all this BS security before you even get on the airplane, you know, because we've seen time and time again. I mean, how many times has, you know, 2020 or, you know, some investigative, you know, mainstream news agency done some sort of, you know, like, yeah, we smuggled a bunch of, you know, heroin and dirty bombs onto this flight to San Francisco. And it was really easy to do. We see that time and time again. All right. Happens all the time. I mean, in fact, there was a metric in the paper saying that, you know, so far this year, almost 900 guns have been confiscated at airports from coast to coast. And that since 2006, when they confiscated like 500 or 600 guns, I mean, the majority of these loaded, and then half of the loaded guns with chambered bullets, I mean, ready to be fired, people packing heat, you know, ready to go at the airport. I mean,
and
who does
forgetting.
It? Who does it? Ah, forgetting. I mean, who does it know you can't bring your gun on a plane? I mean, you can bring a gun with you when you travel. It has to be in your checked luggage, though. You can't have it in your carry-on, you know?
Right.
And just, so, you have to know that. You can't not know that.
Right.
Knowing that would be
akin
to...
That's how many people have absentmindedly carrying around guns that they, you don't think that all of these guns that they confiscated were people trying to sneak guns onto the plane.
I mean, right. Absentmindedly is correct. It's like, damn it, I meant to put the gun away and grab my toothbrush.
Who was the Dallas Cowboy coach that tried that? He had a fully loaded 357 before Jimmy Johnson. Who was that guy?
Oh, but this has been a long time ago then.
Yeah. Pre 9/11, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, in his defense, at least he's from Texas. Right?
I'm trying to remember who you... Was that Buddy Ryan guy?
No. We'll ask Mr. Google.
Right.
Well, there was a... you know, retired football player just recently who was stopped in Seattle at SeaTac, I think, with a loaded gun. I mean, this, again, happens all the time. It's amazing that this is the first time with that many people walking into airports strapped. It's amazing that this has been the first time a TSA agent has been killed in the line of duty.
But this was somebody who didn't
Barry Switzer.
Forget. Ah, yeah, that's right.
97.
No, right. I understand. He purposely had.
Right. But, I mean, that's just crazy to me that they've confiscated 900.
So far this year.
So far.
You got to realize.
And those are the ones they caught.
Right. The four dirty bomb tests, those all got through.
And just wait, the holiday season's about to begin. I mean, that is the height of traveling with your weapon,
right?
You know, season. I mean, that's most people. I mean, traveling the busiest. I mean, it's the only way to do it.
See that damn brother of mine?
I swear to God, if he says anything to me about my job. So I got my loaded 357.
Sad, but that'll happen this year. There'll be one.
I mean, it's just, it's an interesting reality to say the very least. And to go, just like any time, just like those, you know, those Chechen marathon bombing guys, Tamerlan and Doshkaev or whatever his name is.
Doshkar.
There we go. Yeah. So those guys, regardless of whether or not they are real or imagined, whether or not the marathon bombing was a staged event or just a bunch, I mean, you know, seemingly, you know, the kid that's still alive, I mean, he had a good education. He had a scholarship to a state college in Massachusetts. He had friends. He went to parties, you know. He didn't, you know, he wasn't like the trench coat mafia. He wasn't like that kid that went to Newtown and shot the elementary school up.
Right.
I mean, he had friends and a life and girls. And he smoked weed and spent a lot of time on Twitter talking about how chill he was. You know, for him to just throw everything away makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense, especially when you couple that with the fact that when somebody does something like that, they don't do anything but help the agenda of the police state and government controlling everything.
Right.
And the cessation of privacy and freedom in the name of security. Doesn't do anything other than that. And I mean, again, I'm not asking somebody who commits a crazy act that one can say is nuts to have a moment of logic or clarity before they do that and go, maybe, just maybe, me killing innocent people to protest government policies that I disagree with will just help perpetuate that government that I disagree with, you know, and policies of manipulation, control, and killing people that I oppose. You know, I mean, that's a lot to ask, but, you know, seemingly that Dogecart guy may have known that because he was educated and he had a life outside of, you know, religious indoctrination or something like that.
Right.
You know, very interesting how that works, but that's 100 times out of 100. You know, terrorism or these aggressive acts against the state just help the state, right? And they don't do anything to benefit anyone or anything else because violence is not the answer. Violence is the tool. That's what the state uses, you
right?
Know? And you know, and it's just, to me, it makes
like
absolutely
you said, it
no
strengthens
sense.
Them.
Right, and that's why when you have people who are in, you know, these various movements that are against, you know, the, what do you want to call it, the New World Order or, you know, the truth movement or whatever it is, people end up going in all these very bizarre directions that end with violence because they don't have, they're trying to rebel against something. And the only way they can do so is by manifesting that same thing. Is that making any sense at all? Are you done playing Fruit Ninja yet?
Fruit Ninja's gone. I'm keeping up to date with the news and the topics. And the Mr. I was trying to find CIA and CIA's. Like more. I mean, was he a frequent flyer? I mean, is he mad at the TSA other than listening to Alex Jones? That's, I think, one of the pieces I would be interested in seeing.
Right.
Yeah, did he have an iPad stolen?
No, that's a good question.
Did his girlfriend get groped?
I mean, because listen, we can get personal and bring up details, but I've been really mad at people who actually deserved it, and I've yet to get a loaded rifle and take it to them. So that's the other thing that I find odd about these. You know, yeah, the TSA sucks, and it's an infringement, and it's where the rubber meets the road and the New World tyranny. But to, you know, take a loaded weapon into an airport. Didn't he shoot his way through the first checkpoint and got back to the one guy? It's just, you know, at 23, surely he's mad about something else other than the TSA.
Right.
And, you know, just to go right along with the tinfoil hat crowd, that news conference that you were talking about a while ago, Mike, they mentioned that they practiced for that very exact scenario, like less than 2 weeks ago, I think he said.
Damn it, Jake, don't start this.
So they had a lone nut shooter getting past the first security checkpoint. Yeah. I mean, it's...
No, that was one of the things that I read as well. And I also read, you should see, have you seen the picture, if you haven't seen it yet, of this guy that they released after he's being detained. He literally looks like, they call him Dapper Cadavers. They're like supposed to be like really realistic looking rubber, you know, people that they use for training exercises for first responders. Dapper Cadavers. I mean, it looks like that they have tried to manipulate a dapper cadaver into having his hands behind his back in handcuffs, and somebody poured about a gallon of ketchup out on the floor.
Well, they had some blood left over from the Boston bombings.
And Halloween. That's really what it is. And Halloween. I mean, you know, but it's just, okay, so everyone's got a little sympathy for the TSA now. People are going, well, I guess he does have a hard job, you know? So I won't feel weird when he touches my genitalia this morning. I'll just accept that a little bit. But the lone nut shooting,
I'm just glad he was a conspiracy theorist.
Are you?
Yeah, it makes it that much more exciting. You know, because who was the last mass shooter? Was it... Dorner, he just hated cops, not necessarily the New World Order, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Was he the last mass shooter? Was that earlier this year? Chris Dorner?
I believe so.
Going to be a bloodbath of cops dying in L.A.? Yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Yeah, we're going back to Google Images.
Well, and there's also, you know, you got the Colorado shooter, and then you had the Newtown shooter. Those guys were just on a lot of meds, right?
Is that
show that to Mike.
That's the Dapper Cadaver.
Yeah, Dapper Cadaver.
Fruit Ninja Blood.
I mean, that's the picture. That was officially released. I think the New York Post was the first media outlet to get that, and then to start purporting that as being the guy's still alive too.
Wow.
Apparently he's fully cooperating with authorities right now as we speak. He already told the FBI.
Yeah, that's just a little person who.
Yeah. Wow. He already told the FBI that he was acting alone.
And who was it that dropped him off at the airport? They're already freaking out about
his mom. No, I don't know. Who did drop him off the airport?
Oh, that piece escaped me. I just can't get over his last name.
Literally spelled CIA and CIA.
CIA. Wow.
Conspiracy theories.
Right.
But at some point, can't we just have a mass shooting that's just a mass shooting?
Please. I don't want any innuendo.
Like an agenda free. It's like, yo,
right,
homie was straight up crazy.
Just right. A crazy dude. Just
he was always crazy.
I want the babbling to be
incoherent.
He's like,
they took the chicken out the McNuggets and I killed a bunch of people.
Yeah, the babbling needs to be incoherent or silent. But
oh, no, the last mass shooter was the guy at the Navy Yard.
Right.
That was the last mass shooter. And that guy... I mean, that guy was...
Well, he had crazy.
Yeah, he was straight up crazy, right?
He was crazy from way back in...
Oh, sure.
And
why was he killing people, Jake? Because of elves.
Right. Oh, yeah. His,
because of elf.
The extra low frequencies.
Yes. And that's just, that's a little nuts, right? I mean, was he just a mass shooter? Or was there, what was the agenda behind that one?
By his own admission, he had been targeted by extremely low frequencies, and he said specifically and directly, because of this sonic wave manipulation to his dome, that's why he was doing it. He named his shotgun the Elf Chaser or something.
Right, because he like...
Oh, yeah, he wrote all kinds of stuff on the barrel of his Mossberg, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, according to InfoWars, TSA shooting, new pretext for police states.
What?
So, do we need more pretext for the police state? I mean, haven't
right.
we established a substantial amount of police state pretext?
Although, you know...
His roommate dropped him off at the airport.
Well, they're going to want to know what his roommate knew about all these damn guns and bullets. He was...
Well, and they're saying that he was dressed as a TSA agent.
Really?
Yeah. There's all kinds of conflicting reports. And this is generally what happens.
Right. Well, I would think that when you got things like the guy in Virginia with the...
Henry Cho?
With the... Well, no. The guy we were just talking about. That wasn't in Virginia. It was Maryland.
Yeah, right.
But when you got that guy, in a sense, talking anti-government, right? I mean, he's talking about the New World Order... Just not naming it when you start talking about, or not maybe not the New World Order, but you know, the secret government that's aiming things at his head or whatever. And then you got this guy that did this weekend. Then you start going, okay, does that start to become a legitimate reason to silence people like Alex Jones? You know what I mean? Because if you listen to Alex Jones too much, this could happen to you, so we should stop it.
So CIA and CIA had a note in his bag that talked about killing TSA agents and mentioned how easy it is to get a gun. And that's an NBC report. NBC Los Angeles.
That does begin to sound a whole lot like... I mean, I'm not saying that it's... A false flag.
No, yeah, this is it's the Onion News report.
Oh, you were reading an Onion News report?
No, this, I mean, this...
The reality is as crazy as that. No, and that's the...
Like, if you're trying to be funny, that's what you have to say. I don't know if the people, the writers at the Onion are smart enough to think of a last name like C and Cia.
That is... Probably too good to...
Yes, that is the smoking gun.
Oh, apparently he also wanted to kill pigs, too.
Huh?
Just regular cops.
Yeah. No.
In addition to the TSA types.
Yeah. All right, it's about 5 minutes until... The 3 o'clock hour, if you want to chime in before we go to Suicide 292.
Last week I was...
That's right. I'm on schedule. You're not.
There's an asterisk.
I was broken down and hobbling on gravel far, far away.
816-931-5534. 931-5534. 931-KKFI is the telephone number as it continues to sprinkle a little bit here on this... Fourth day of November. Did you let the kids go trick-or-treating?
They did go. They did. I
Any razor blades in the apples?
No.
Cyanide in the Mars bars?
No. None.
I remember being a kid and going out trick-or-treating with some of my little sister's rich friends. And we were literally in Mission Hills, and we had gone up to this house hoping to get a full-size candy bar. And instead, we got some powdered sugar dessert that was probably made by the, you know, the maid of the residence or something like that. That was in a brown paper, you know, in a plastic sack or whatever. And I remember the mother of my sister's friend going, oh, yeah, you guys can't eat that. It probably has crack on it. And I remember looking at her going, why the hell would somebody put crack on my candy, dude? Crack costs money.
In Mission Hills.
Yeah, somebody in Mission Hills is sprinkling
crack and apples
on my candy. And she looked at me and she's like, you're probably right. I'm like, I know I'm right. I mean, do you got to figure?
Wouldn't it be so much easier to just take a syringe and you just put it in the regular candy bars and then people wouldn't know?
But I mean, if you're gonna get poisoned candy, I mean, if you're okay, your kids are old enough to go trick or treating by themselves. My kids are not.
Right.
So it's gonna be pretty obvious which house is handing out the caramel apple with
razor
blades.
That's what I mean.
In it,
it's like,
you know what I mean? You had to like knock a little too long on the door before somebody showed up and they're like, oh, candy, hold on, I'll be right back. You know, I mean, it's got to be pretty obvious who's handing out the poison candy. You know, what's surprising to me is in my neighborhood, the sheer number of adults that trick or treat. I mean, full grown. There was a lady. Yeah.
Those were just some big ass kids?
Who was in her late 50s, at least. And she was smoking.
Candy cigarettes.
She was smoking, man.
She did at least have a child with her, right?
No. And she's like, don't tell my parents. And I'm like, what? And she's like, you don't get my costume, do you? And I'm like, no, I guess I get it.
An old lady.
Get off
my
property.
In the fourth grade.
Was she dressed as a cougar?
But I had my four-year-old dressed as a bumblebee. Because we go trick-or-treat and we come back to the house. I like to give out candy. That's fun for me. And the kids actually really enjoy it, too.
Yep.
And once you get in, you know, a chunk of candy, I mean, how much candy do you need? I'm going to throw most of it away.
Right.
Anyway.
That's it.
So, you know, then I got my kid passing out candy, and it just really messed people up. Having a little four-year-old kid in a bumblebee costume handing you some candy. And this one kid, after he got candy from my son, was all like, reaching his bucket and threw some in his. Like, no. He's like, well, he gave me candy. To make sure you get some candy too, and I was like, "This is the meaning of Halloween." Now let's overdose on high fructose corn syrup.
Everybody's just walking from door to door.
What did you used to call the spiritual inverse of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
I used to have a name for that.
Yeah, no, there was something specific. Yeah, we won't figure it out before 3 o'clock.
All right. Good morning. You're on the radio for about 50 seconds.
I just wanted to give a birthday wish to one of the most important women in politics today. Senator Laura Burris, one of the most intelligent, beautiful women I've ever met. Senator Laura Burris, right?
No.
You know Senator Laura Burris?
Anybody?
No. Who is that?
Senator Laura Burris.
It's a senator from where? From the great state of what?
New England, I think.
Cool. Well,
anyway, you guys have a good evening.
Yeah, you too, man. From the great state of New England.